Welcome to Health Talk, a program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest information on both conventional and alternative therapies. Your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, MD, is a graduate of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and he's trained in internal medicine as well as alternative medical practices. Now, here's your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. A very special edition of Health Talk because no area of medicine is more murky than the area of medicine that we're going to take a look at today, because we know about pollution. We know about water and air. We know about the toxic substances that affect our foods. But there's a type of invisible pollution that affects us daily, and it's getting worse. And it's not nearly as well recognized that this is a problem as, well, we're greening America. We're aware that environmental pollution is going to get us. There's a big concern about global warming, so we're trying to cut down toxic emissions. But these emissions surround us on a daily basis, and yet we're just not aware of it. And so I've invited an expert. She's Camilla Reese. She has a wonderful resource available to listeners, interested parties, at electromagnetichealth.org. And we're going to talk during this hour about new evidence that there's something amiss in our environment. And it doesn't have to do with food, water, air, or toxic chemicals. It has to do with, well, it has to do with the electromagnetic waves that surround us on a daily basis. Camilla, it's a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman. Great to be here.
Well, how did this happen? What set the stage for us? What's going on?
Well, over the past 10 or 15 years, we've seen a tremendous increase in the levels of microwave radiation exposure. And these are from things like cell phone towers, home wireless technologies, and so on. And so what's been happening around the world is that a number of people are starting to get symptoms from this type of radiation. And there are activist groups in every country in Europe today, many places in the United States, because people are really hurting. They're noticing, they're starting to connect the dots between difficulty concentrating and insomnia and things like that with these sorts of technologies. So there's the acute issues that people are experiencing now. There's also a large body of research that was summarized about, well, exactly 2 years ago, August 2007, in a report called the Bioinitiative Report, where leading international scientists got together and took a look at many studies showing the known biological effect from electromagnetic fields and put it into a summary report. So there's lots of evidence of biological effect and great concern about long-term effect on DNA and other illnesses. But there's also the immediate issues like acute problems that people are experiencing and children are experiencing and schools that have Wi-Fi and so on. So it's an emerging public health issue.
One of the reasons that I put you on this program was as a follow-up to several programs that I did with Dave Stetzer. Presumably you know Dave. Mm-hmm. Dave is an expert in this field. He's an electrical engineer, and he studied this issue for many decades. And mm-hmm. actually, he was a consultant to the government when the government was concerned that people were sickening in the Moscow embassy. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that this was part of a Cold War prank of sorts. Well, worse than a prank. The Soviets were directing powerful microwave radiation at U.S. embassy employees, and the government didn't understand what was going on. People were getting sick inexplicably. They thought they were firing poison darts in there, or maybe they were sending some kind of invisible poison into that embassy. But it turned out it was powerful microwaves that were being directed from outside, and that day in and day out, this created problems. What's the evidence that this is really happening? A lot of people are going to say initial skepticism, you know, like, yeah, we, a lot of us are feeling weak, tired, woozy. You know, suck it up. That's the way it is. It's not due to electromagnetic radiation, or is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, one study that I can cite that we have a chart from in our book, the new book called Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution, that was just sent to Congress a couple of weeks ago. The study is by Santini, and it shows the kinds of symptoms that people are experiencing in relation to distance from a cell phone tower. And those symptoms include, and the closer you got to it, the greater the level of these symptoms. And they range from fatigue to sleep disturbance, headaches, depression, memory issues, hearing issues, skin problems, cardiovascular irregularities, and so on. But keep in mind, this is just cell phone distance from cell phone towers. It doesn't consider what's the effect on the body from all the other kinds of exposures you're getting from maybe the Wi-Fi network in your office or your home, or the use of your cell phone or the use of your portable phone, which many people don't realize emits the same kind of microwave radiation, can be just as serious. And it also doesn't consider the long-term effects. We know much less about, you know, what are going to be the 30-year effects, because we haven't been using these technologies that long. Although you're absolutely right, our government has known for decades about the effect of these, because of, you know, well, the Moscow embassy example is absolutely correct. I've met people who were in that embassy who've had multiple types of cancers. And when I first heard about that story, I was being impaired myself in an apartment building where the neighbors had just put in a wireless router on the other side of the wall from my bed. And when I was very, very, having very great difficulty concentrating, and I thought, how could I be getting ADD or something at this age? Well, I ultimately got to the bottom of it, measured the fields and so on. But I heard about that Moscow embassy situation. I just thought, you know what? That's brilliant. What they did was absolutely brilliant, because they know that it has this kind of effect. And one of the explanations for it, which one of the mechanisms of action, is there is a leakage in the cell wall. There's a decalcification in the cell wall that allows leakage, including, you know, blood-brain barrier and the gut barrier and other junctures in the body and really basically at every cell level. So that is well known. And according to a scientist from the Imperial College in London, Andrew Goldsworthy, he says that this mechanism alone can explain the vast number of both short-term symptoms as well as the long-term illnesses that are starting to be linked to this.
Obviously, this is going to be hard to sort out, because there's so many harmful influences in our world, you know, whether it's, you know, toxic mercury, toxic chemicals, and then you throw this in, and, you know, some people seem to be hardy. They're sort of the survivor rats. You know, they can eat poison and they don't die. And other people may be more vulnerable. Is there a spectrum of sensitivities to this?
Sure, there is. And let me touch on that. Your mention of mercury. There is Dr. Thomas Rau over at the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland. He has said that one of the first lines of treatment for any cancer patient is to get the metal out of the mouth, not because of, you know, the known concerns about mercury toxicity, but any metal whatsoever, because you've essentially created a hot spot right in your head where the fields are bounce off of metal. And so there is this definitely...
Electrically or electronically?
The electromagnetic fields from the wireless technologies are going to be bound. They reflect, metal reflects them. So Whether it's your bed that you're sleeping on, where you're creating extra hotspots in your room, not knowing it because you've got a metal bed, or whether it's a prosthesis in your body that's metal, or whether it's a fillings in your mouth, any metal...
It's like a lightning rod effect. And
right.
It sort of attracts the current.
You become an antenna, and it bounces around off of the fillings. And so it's a very important thing for people to know about, and in terms of the fillings, but also if you have a high load of metals in your body. And then on the point you mentioned about chemicals, you know, there are lots of other issues that are destabilizing people's bodies and dysregulating the balance. But there is one study that has shown that the people who are electrically sensitive, which is a term used to describe the people that are having the acute symptoms, these people tend to have much higher body burdens of chemicals.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
So maybe the whole idea in environmental medicine is toxic burden, or your cup runneth over, and it may be just the straw that breaks the camel's back when other things have rendered you more susceptible. Is that a possible way to look at it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I want to mention a few other things that set people up for problems for electrical sensitivity. If you have, a lot of people who are electrically sensitive, I've found, have a chronic infection issue. And who knows what came first, you know, the chicken or the egg. But it has been shown that the rate of neurotoxins generated by microorganisms is many hundreds of times in the presence of electromagnetic fields. So that group is going to be extra sensitive. So are the people who have lost myelin, you know, people who have MS and Lyme and other processes.
Because maybe their wires are a little loose. They're not as well insulated.
That's correct.
Yeah, so they're more perhaps sensitive to the slight perturbations in the electronic fields or waves around them.
That's correct. Then, of course, you've got genetic issues where some people don't have as good detoxification enzymes and systems, so that maybe they don't detox metals as well as the next person. They might be more electrically sensitive. And then water also, the levels of water, according to Dietrich Klinghardt in Seattle, who teaches a course on this for physicians, he says that water and electrolyte levels will alter the antenna function of the organism,
well,
dehydration
basic,
being protective.
Basic physics suggests that. All right, we're going to come. You've opened up a huge can of worms here. This issue is always fascinating but explosive because we're surrounded by electromagnetic fields. If you're listening to this program, you got your computer on, you got your wireless, you've got all electric and electronic devices going in your house. You're being surrounded by electronic fields. And are these fields benign, or do they have subtle or sometimes not so subtle harmful effects? That's what our guest is talking about, Camilla Reese. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking to Camilla Reese. We're talking about electromagnetic pollution. Yeah, it's a form of pollution that is ubiquitous. It's invisible, and it may be affecting you at this very moment. Camilla, one of the things that I wonder about, and you know, there's a big push in this country to introduce hybrid vehicles. Are you still with us there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Hybrid electric vehicles. And it's a really appealing notion because, you know, it's environmental, and we can save dependency on foreign oil. And so we're creating all these very powerful motors and generators that are going to reside a mere few inches protected by a thin firewall from our, let's say, our nether parts. Pregnant women are going to be driving these cars. Young children are going to be sitting real close to these motors. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, actually, it goes beyond the hybrid cars, because starting in about 2001, cars became filled with many more electronics or many computer systems on board in any kind of car, not just the hybrids.
Navigation systems?
Excuse me?
Navigation systems?
But just computers within the car itself for its own operation,
right,
is what I'm referring to. Excuse me. And so there was an article a couple of months back in the New York Times about hybrid cars and suggesting that this might be a real problem. And actually, the meter that they used to measure the fields in the car, a car, was a meter whose manual specifically states that it over-exaggerates the readings of magnetic fields in the presence of high radio frequency levels. So somebody here, Stan Hartman, who's an environmental consultant, has actually assessed a hybrid car and found that the levels of magnetic fields are really not as bad as you would think. But it's worse in the back seat, and so you wouldn't want to put, you know, a child in the back seat for a long period of time.
That's counterintuitive, because isn't the power drive in the front? I'm not sure. Maybe the battery is stuck behind the back seat. I'm not sure how those cars are designed. Is that why the exposure is worse in the back?
Yes.
The drivetrain or something
like
that? The battery, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, because I'm thinking, you know, the engine, like in a conventional car, is located in the front, but actually the battery may be stuck mm-hmm. behind in the back where the gas tank usually is. Okay. All right, so that isn't particularly apparel, but you're saying that cars now, they're so electronic. Like, I just got a new car. It's got all these wonderful gadgets in it. No way I could figure out how to fix it because it's a complicated electronic device. Maybe that, you know, exposes you to a lot of fields.
Yeah, it certainly does. Any car since 2001 has much higher level of electronics and electromagnetic fields in general. But that's a different kind of electromagnetic field than, say, the microwave radiation from the wireless technologies and cell phones and so on, but it's all important.
Okay. So you'd say of the, in terms of the categories of exposures, you're thinking cell towers, that's important. You're thinking home wireless networks. We're literally, I mean, it's amazing because you don't feel this stuff, but when you turn your computer on, all this amazing data is available, and then you watch the bit rate of all the data passing into your computer. Evidently, some of that stuff is passing through your body as you sit there, right?
That's right. And there's actually evidence that it creates opioids in the brain and actually has, it's not just addictive in the sense that, oh, you like to network with your friends and all the social networking, or that you like the productivity from the computer, but there's actually a physiological thing that happens where some people have a hard time pulling themselves away.
Wow, that's a fascinating theory because, you know, we tend to think of, email as being reinforcing, Facebook is addictive, but maybe just the very act of sitting there and getting your brain stimulated by these electromagnetic waves is one of the reasons why people like to sit in front of the computer. That's a brand new theory. I haven't heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So you yourself came to this through your own disability. You want to tell us a little bit about how things started to go south for you, and maybe with as an instructive tale for people looking into this in their own lives?
Sure. I had actually been very much focused on the issues with our healthcare system for some time, realizing that it doesn't, in general, help people get to the root issues. And I was in the process of living in San Francisco, in the process of writing a book about this issue on the diagnostic side of our healthcare system, where we don't go looking for the deeper issues, when I stumbled upon this EMF issue in my own. A new neighbors moved in. They put in a wireless router. There was that. The building had also installed wireless antennas throughout, hoping to sell the tenants a $20 a month wireless internet service. Even though I didn't elect to purchase that, I was still exposed to those antennas. And then finally, I was quite close to downtown San Francisco, where at the time, there were 941 cellular antennas within 20 blocks of my apartment. There's a database that people can go to put in their address and find out, you know, how many there are. That number is almost double. It's about double right now, a year and a half or two later. So I don't know what was the most important, but probably the wireless router on the other side of the wall. And I started developing difficulty focusing. I would lie there on my bed, and I would actually feel my heart starting to, I'd feel like a irregularity in the heart. Never had a heart problem before or since. And I was thinking, wow, what's wrong with me? There's something really wrong here. And I didn't know who to turn to. I realized that most doctors wouldn't know anything about it.
Stay with us on that theme, okay? Because we want to come back. We need to take a break. When we return, we'll talk about electromagnetic sensitivity and how it can affect you. This is Health Talk. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about electromagnetic pollution. Great website, Electromagnetic Health, all the latest stories and information, resources for you. Camilla Reese is an activist on this front. She herself experienced problems, and she's telling us about it. So what happened next to you as you began to notice that you were having symptoms?
Yeah, and luckily I knew enough. I knew that this could be a possibility because I'd studied so much health and medicine, and I'd heard in the past of people who lived near radio towers being affected. And so I got onto the internet and got into a listserv group of scientists and put out the question, who can help me measure to see what's going on? Because the only way you know is if you actually can go with a meter and measure. And so that became the process of figuring out what was happening, and I ultimately had to move. But what happened to me is what's happening.
Did you have a special consultant come in and do this for you, someone acquainted with this?
Yeah, and there are not too many people who are really well trained in this. business. There are, about a handful, 15 or so people that I know of around the country that are really expert in this area. The Institute of Biobiology and Ecology trains people in this, as do some other people. But it's, your average electrician, for example, wouldn't know how to measure for these kinds of fields. It's hard to find people.
I've heard this happen in some schools, where schools have experienced unaccountably epidemics of illness, malaise, all kinds of bizarre mm-hmm. types of symptoms. And, initially they thought, it was mold, toxic mold, maybe chemicals, maybe the mm-hmm. recent painting had done this, sick building syndrome. And then it turned out it was when an electronic expert was consulted, an electrical engineer was consulted, it turned out there was electrical pollution.
Yes, actually, France has just banned cell phones in primary schools on health grounds.
Wow.
And they're also requiring that manufacturers come up with a phone for children that only has texting ability for the mother's need to stay in touch.
Europe is actually ahead of us in recognition of this.
Europe, as well as many other countries. Taiwan in April has said that there will be no cell phone base stations installed near high schools or on the premises or primary schools. Israel has a couple days ago actually banned cell companies from marketing wireless internet connections into residences. The National Library of France has taken out Wi-Fi that's like the equivalent of our Library of Congress on exercising the precautionary principle. And the European Parliament has taken an incredibly strong stand on this, on cell phones, portable phones, wireless networks, and so on. And they're recommending that they got a long list of recommendations, including a increased communication to the public about the potential health hazards, funding wide-ranging awareness campaigns for young people because the children's brains are more vulnerable. More radiation is absorbed into the brain. You get brain tumors that are deeper in the brain, which are more deadly, and so on. And they're recommending that certain establishments be completely free of wireless, which including schools, daycare centers, retirement homes, and healthcare institutions. I mean, the list goes on. They're really taking a very strong stand. And the crux of the issue here is that the telecom companies are in compliance with government guidelines, exposure guidelines. So they're making technologies that are in compliance with the limits set by the government. But the government standards in many countries around the world are based on faulty assumptions that the only known reason for concern would be the heating effect, the thermal effect from the radiation. And
right. So if it doesn't roast you,
right.
It's not harmful.
Right. So if it doesn't have the microwave oven type of an effect,
right.
that's not a problem. But the reality is there are plenty of research studies showing effects at non-thermal levels. And so this is the heart of the argument. And, disappointingly, our FDA has recently come out with a statement, debunking the possibility that people could be affected
by... Well, they also have just announced that mercury in fillings is fine for you. And they've just inaugurated a campaign to get us all vaccinated against H1N1.
Yes.
With a vaccine that contains, thimerosal, which
yeah.
is a mercury-derived compound. So I guess they don't really pay attention to these supposedly bogus concerns.
Well, they either don't pay attention or they have other, motives.
Yep. That's your way of saying it is better. Yeah.
It's disgraceful that our country is so far behind other countries on the EMF issue and other things, too. And, we really have to ask yourself, what kind of country, who wants to live in a country where there seems to be such an integrity issue at the level of the FDA, where they're not taking a stand for public health?
Well, but then in our conversations that I've had with Dave Stetzer, he's pointed out, he's a very modest individual. He's no firebrand by any means, but he just modestly pointed out, hey, we're talking about a huge telecommunications industry
mm-hmm.
that literally makes billions and hundreds of billions of dollars on promoting this type of technology. They really don't want any restraints put on that, the introduction of this type of technology.
That's right. And the other thing to keep in mind is that the government the tax revenues for the our federal government from this industry are very substantial. And also when a lot of the spectrum was auctioned off in the early 90s, they did it, they gave away the rights to these startup companies without making them pay the full price up front. So as Dr. Joe Mercola said on his website, they've essentially become a mortgage holder for these a lot of these telecom companies.
Well, it's kind of like when the government opened up lots and lots of government land to the railroads. Government and the railroads kind of were in cahoots as they expanded that industry. That was back in the 19th century. And now we've got a whole new frontier, which is bandwidth. And the government gets money, and the industry gets money, and maybe the fox is minding the chicken coop.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the hazards, how to recognize whether you may be subject to these problems, some precautions that you can take because, well, it's a controversial issue, but electromagnetic pollution is ubiquitous, it's real, and it may be affecting you at this time. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Camilla Reese, and she's got a website at electromagnetichealth.org or .com? Camilla?
.org.
Okay. So that's where you can find resources. What are some of the things that people can find there that might be helpful?
Well, first of all, there are a number of audio interviews with leading scientists and physicians who know about this issue. So there's a great way to get up to speed fast. There's also a link to a site where you can put in your home address and find out where the neighborhood antennas are and what are being applied for and planned. There's also a blog that people can read on an ongoing basis to find out what's happening around the world on this topic and in this country as well. There's a section called Quotes from Experts, and that's got very succinct quotes from leading people, leading scientists around the world about the urgency of this matter. Then there's a section that's called Media Story Leads, and these are kind of hot tips for people to for journalists that we're hoping that journalists will go and run with and further explore. They're really important subjects, you know, such as research that's showing a connection between electromagnetic fields and autism, and showing a connection between electromagnetic fields and utility meter readings, and also a great analysis of the design flaws in a very important study called the Interphone Study, which is a 13-country study trying to assess whether there's a connection between brain tumors and cell phones. And there's a very thorough analysis of 11 key design flaws the result of which is the gross underestimation of risk. And it's really worth looking at those design flaws.
Let's re-examine that connection because study after study keeps coming out. Well, sometimes the studies raise the question, and then other studies are performed. They say, nah, it's not a problem. We've looked at millions of people. No problem. Cell phone's okay. Yeah, maybe for growing kids, don't have their, you know, have them glued to the cell phone all the time. Good luck, you know, if you give your kid a cell phone. But where does the science stand on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the study in the late 90s that was conducted by the industry association itself, the CTIA, that was headed up by Dr. George Carlo, a $25 million project, his own study showed a connection between cell phone use and brain tumors. What happened? The funding was abruptly ended and the study never published. However, he's been well quoted on that original research. And follow-up research in the early 2000 period, all industry-funded as well as independent research, also showed connections with brain tumors. Then most of the independent science has been done by a group headed by Professor Leonard Hardell, who's a professor...
When you say independent science, you think that one of the reasons why these studies have come up negative or kind of obscured the risk is because there's been industry participation and they've got a stake in keeping it mum?
Well, there is a database maintained by Dr. Henry Lai at the University of Washington that shows that 20 of all, he keeps this analysis of all the studies to show funding bias, and only 28% of industry-funded studies show effect versus 67% of the independent scientists.
Wow.
So Dr. Hartel is the leading independent scientist in this area, and his study has shown that after 10 years or more of digital cell phone use, there was a 280% increased risk of brain tumors. And for teenagers, or people who are teenagers or younger, when they first started using a cell phone, there was a 420% increased risk of brain tumors. So if this Interphone study, they've been releasing individual studies from different countries over the past few years, but they have not released the entire study. And the European Parliament just called this deplorable because it's been 4 years since the data was in and analyzed, and they haven't released the numbers. And so they are going to be coming out with a study shortly, and it'll be very interesting to see what it says. But I highly recommend that people read the design flaws of the Interphone study, because there are things in there that would greatly underestimate the risk. For example, they eliminated from the study results anyone who died of a brain tumor during the study. And
that would seem to be an important group.
Yeah. They also eliminated young adults and children. And those are known to be the more vulnerable. They eliminated they didn't include people who lived in rural areas where the power is stronger, and they're going to be more vulnerable as a result. They excluded certain brain tumor types. And then I could go on and on, but the flaw that's considered the most egregious by those in the know is that at the time that this study was done, not as many people were using cell phones as use them today, but a lot of people were using portable phones. And portable phones emit the same kind of radiation. So in terms of categorizing people for this study as whether they were exposed or unexposed, this Interphone study put the people who were only portable phone users but not cell phone users in the category of unexposed.
Wow. Yeah, they just seem to manipulate the data. Short answer, because we have to go to a break in a minute. People need to use cell phones. I mean, we can obviously minimize our use and not hang on the cell phone. Some people just seem to be inseparable from their cell phones. They walk down the street and, they're paying attention to what's in front of them, and they're talking to somebody else at a remote location. But aside from trying to minimize the use, any measures to take to shield the phone or, use those earphones and keep the physical phone away from your brain?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe it's very important to use an earpiece if you are using a cell phone at all. They've been shown to reduce the radiation to the brain by 95%. I'm not talking about the Bluetooth ones, wireless.
Right, because those send a signal themselves.
Which adds an additional level of a problem.
Right.
And I would also say that if you use a headset, you don't want to hold the phone in your pocket because it's radiating to wherever you're at, to the other organs, to the liver, to the abdominal area. And it has been shown to reduce fertility, and so it is. You don't want it on your person. You want to keep it in a bag if you have to carry a cell phone, mm-hmm. and keep it on. You want to use a headset, and frankly, I use Skype a lot instead of a cell phone, because through Skype I can have a number that travels with me wherever I am, and I get the phone messages on my computer. I can talk from the computer. So there are alternatives.
Not without holding the device actually to your. Okay, we're going to take a break when we come back. Fascinating discussion. Camilla Reese, electromagnetichealth.org is the website. More information there. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here with Health Talk. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is a very important program, so I want you to write down a website where you can get podcasts. It's WOR710.com. After we broadcast the show, it'll be archived at WR710.com, and that's where all my programs are archived. And this important content, you can share it with friends, alert them to this important issue. We're with Camilla Reese, who's an expert on electromagnetic pollution. And Camilla, we don't have much time, about a minute or so, but can you briefly allude to one of the most important implications of all this research, which is the potential connection to autism? I know we've not not, there's no smoking gun yet, but what's the evidence?
Mm-hmm. Well, posted on electromagnetichealth.org is a study done by a doctor in Seattle who looked at the electromagnetic levels in the bedroom sleeping environment of the women who had children who turned out to be autistic and compared the levels of both the ambient electromagnetic field as well as the body voltage of the person lying in that space to the mothers, the locations of mothers who had the healthy children. And the levels were, I think, 23 point times higher up in the stratosphere, way higher, to the point where he says today, you know, he can predict whether a mother's going to have a healthy child based on these kind of numbers. And
so clearly no smoking gun, but tantalizing suggestion that we got to keep our kids away from this stuff.
That's
this
right.
Stuff,
and we need more research right away.
Thank you very much, Camilla Reese, and keep up the great work. The website, of course, electromagnetichealth.org, important resources there. This is Health Talk.